I can't take it. I just can't take it. You ever use that phrase? I think most of us, at some point in our life, get to that point where you say, I just can't take it. I just can't take it. I want to reflect on that phrase a little bit this morning. It's probably one of the most honest things that we say. Because what we're saying is, I can't take it. I can't take it. But what I think is the challenge is, while we can't take it, the only thing we can do is give ourselves to it. And that's the hard part. Brother David Steindl-Rast, who you've heard me quote before, and I think I've offered reflections on this particular phrase of his, but it leads us into what I want to talk about this morning. Brother David Steindl-Rast is a Benedictine monk, and he talks about creation. Is God breathing into us the breath of life? The breath of life. And that for David, God's presence is that very breath. And what is breath? But breath is a giving and a receiving. It's a giving and a receiving. It's a rhythm. That's why sometimes folks are invited in prayer to just dwell on one's breathing. It's the very gift of life. It's the presence of the holy. And it is that giving and receiving. It's hard to just receive or just take. When you do that, what do? You kind of breathe in. And you kind of hold. You want to own it. You want to possess it. But the challenge is we have to offer it back again. We have to receive and offer back again. But sometimes we're afraid to let go, afraid to give ourselves to that experience. And so we can't take it. We want to take it. We want to hold on to it. We want to control it. But I would suggest that whenever you have that experience of not being able to take it, perhaps it's an invitation to give yourself to that experience and see what it can do in your life and where it leads you. Let me give some examples of that. In the first reading, the reading we just heard from the Acts, we heard about this woman, Tabitha. It says in Greek, her name is Dorcas. It's a story of her her being raised from death. And Dorcas was known to be a seamstress. She was someone who cared for folks in the early Christian community where she lived who were poor, who were struggling, and she reached out to them. You know, I wonder if she ever had the experience in her world, in her community, looking out at folks who were struggling and saying to herself, I just can't take this. I can't take this. And rather than pulling herself away, she gives herself to that. She gives herself to those folks. She tries in some way to make a difference in their lives. Last week, Howard Manning was here from Dorcas Ministries here in Cary, speaking to us of that ministry. That's where Dorcas Ministry gets its name from, this woman in our reading this morning, this Dorcas, who was someone who gave herself to the community to try to reach out. And Dorcas Ministry here in Cary, which is right up here at the corner of Old Apex and High House, is an incredible agency in our community that offers so much to folks in need. Of course, it has a thrift shop there as well, but there's so much they offer to folks who are struggling, folks who are in need, folks who have trying to find a place to live. They offer incredible work. It's a sign of looking at our community and perhaps not responding, I can't take it, but engaging with it, entering into it, and seeing what kind of a difference can be made. This past week, I had the opportunity to meet with Peter Morris, who's the executive director of Urban Ministries in Raleigh. That's an agency that we have been supporting for years. And I just wanted to go there and spend a few hours and learn more about it and meet the staff. And the food that we bring in the little red wagon is the food that we bring to Urban Ministries. And we're one of the biggest contributors of food to that agency. I forget how much we have a certificate. We're part of the one-ton club. And there's food there, although they try not to call it a food pantry, but they try to refer to it as a nutrition center, trying to find ways to provide healthy food for folks in need. A lot of times people who have difficulties even affording food don't always eat the best stuff. So how can it be a nutrition center? So real leadership going on there. But it's not just a place that serves food. It's an agency that provides help to single women who are homeless. It has a clinic. I was able to meet the two doctors that were there that day working there. I got to meet the head pharmacist, the head of nursing, and there were dozens of people there that day being served by this clinic. That's an agency that looks out at our community. And, you know, they could feel, you look around, I can't take it. I can't take the poverty. I can't take the homelessness. But they don't get distracted by that, but they enter into it, engage with it. We can look at the crisis, the refugee crisis in our world, and say, I just can't take this anymore. But rather, we as a parish have decided to engage with that ministry. And this afternoon, we'll welcome the Baris family here, who will be with us with their children. Cute little girls. And I invite you to come on by this afternoon and meet this family who is settling in here in our area. But a way for us to give ourselves to that and make a difference. If you read the paper this morning, Pope Francis flew to Greece and came back on the plane with a few refugee families that are going to be living in the Vatican. There's a shift. But again, making some kind of a difference. You know, I mean, we can look at our world, we can look at the struggles, and say to ourselves, you watch the news, I just can't take it. I just can't take it. And we can choose to not even give ourselves to that. We can choose to be distracted. Sometimes we choose distraction when we find we can't take it. But inviting ourselves to engage. On a personal level as well, on our own spiritual journeys, I'm talking kind of in community kinds of things that we can make a difference in. But even in your own life, are there areas of your life, your family, your career, your home, your neighborhood where you find, you say that phrase, I can't take it. I'm going to share a personal journey with you. Many of you know a lot of this, but I just want to name it and know that what I'm sharing today is something I've been sort of working on and thinking for a while. But it really comes from my own heart. And I kind of find myself in the midst of I can't take it. Actually, a couple of years ago, this May, that my uncle passed away, my Uncle Joe, who had a tremendous influence on my life. Besides my parents and my immediate family, Uncle Joe had an incredible effect on me, kind of a worldview and a way of things, and just I could go on and on about that. But he passed away in May of 2014, and I became the administrator of his estate, and with all that that entails, if you've ever had to do this, it entails an awful lot. And just a few months later, my wife Mary's mom was diagnosed with gastric cancer, stage 4 gastric cancer. That December, a few months later, my youngest daughter, Rebecca's boyfriend, his mom was diagnosed with gastric cancer. That Christmas of 2014, as I was preparing for the Christmas Eve services, was actually between one of the two services, the two early services, I got a call from my father that my mother was being rushed to the hospital, that she wasn't able to get up or move much. So with that going on and Christmas Eve here, the next day, Christmas Day, spoke with the doctor, and a couple days later, my mother was diagnosed with colon cancer. My daughter's boyfriend's mom passed away that December. In March, my mom passed away. And 2 months later, Mary's mom passed away. And my father, who's 92, was kind of struggling with this living alone, and my brother and I trying to deal with that and support that and help him in that journey. And then, as you know, a couple days before this Christmas, my father had a heart attack. His heart stopped on the way to the ambulance. He called me saying he had chest pains. The ambulance came, and he was jolted back on the way to the hospital. And during that time, my brother and I have been trying to care for him, tend to him there, and he eventually moved in here to Glen Eyre, where he's being cared for so wonderfully. In that time frame, there's a phrase that Mary and I have shared with each other. Can't take it. Can't take it. Have you ever said that? I've said it to Mary. Mary said it to me. There are days where you say, I can't take it. But what I found is, and I'm still in the midst of it, I can't take it. I can't control it. I can't make it go the way I think it needs to go or the way I'd like to see it go. But to engage and give myself to what is happening and to be transformed, to allow myself to grow and change in ways that are sometimes a mystery to me, but being able to move forward. That, to me, is what Easter is about. The cross is that challenge, that suffering of our lives. We'd rather not take it. I can't take this. I can't control this. I can't. But you give yourself to it. Jesus gave himself to that cross. And in that came about transformation and change. And that really, in many ways, and all of you, I'm sure all of you could stand up here and share your I can't take it experience. It seems like it's a part of our lives, isn't it? But the key thing is to allow ourselves to give ourselves to that. Because the alternative is to just go to distractions. Just go to distractions. And never really provide ourselves the opportunity to allow that transformation to happen. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and some may be offended, but sometimes, religion can be a distraction. Sometimes religion can be a distraction and a denial. But true faith, true religion, the true spiritual journey invites us to give ourselves to these experiences, to give ourselves to what we find in our lives, and in community to find support as we walk through those experiences. Because as we engage and give ourselves to that, our lives will be transformed. I'm still looking for that, but I know it's happening. And so I share that personal journey with you to know that what I offer this morning is really from my own heart and experience, and I hope it speaks to you. I'm not looking for you to feel sorry for me at all. I'm looking for you to identify the experience in your life and invite you to give yourself. So next time you say to yourself, I can't take it, I can't take it, it's a pretty honest statement. And maybe the real challenge is, how do I give myself to what I can't take? And allow the transforming presence of the Holy to touch our life. That's what Dorcas did. That's what so many of the agencies do that we support. I invite you in your own spiritual journey to walk into that newness, walk into that transformation, walk into that new life.